The first reading is John chapter 18, verses 15 to 27. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" The girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I'm not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around the fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you talk to the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas the high priest. As Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it, saying, "I'm not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a cock began to crow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from John 21, from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Jesus saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down, we know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord.
It's that second reading which we'll be focusing on together. It'll be a help to you if you have that in front of you. John 21, 15 to 25. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, you spoke to Peter to challenge him and also to restore him as your disciple. We pray this morning that you would speak to each one of us by your Holy Spirit, gently and powerfully, to challenge and to restore. Amen. What would you say is the most important question you've ever been asked? Now, some of us have a driving theory test coming up, and there's always a question about road signs. Let me see how much we know. Which one of these signs means no stopping? Is it the red hexagon with the word stop in it? There's always one, which is obviously not that. Is it the blue circle with one red line, the blue circle with two red lines, or is it a picture of a car exploding to signify that if you stop, they'll blow up your car? Is anyone confident on this one? Which one means no stopping? The two red lines. Yeah, a few are saying it. Very, very impressive. Well done, yes. Two red lines means no stopping. Now, of course, that's not the most important question we've ever been asked. Maybe instead it was that moment in a job interview where they turn to you and say, why do you think that you're right for this job? And your mind goes completely blank. Or maybe it's when someone got down on one knee and said, will you marry me? What is the most important question you've ever been asked? Well, today, as we finish our Easter series of sermons, we come to the last part of John's Gospel. And in this part of the Bible, Jesus asks a question far, far more important than any of those questions. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And our answer to that question shows us the state of our souls, and it sets the direction for our whole lives. No question could be more important than this. Now, in John chapter 20, we read of the resurrection of Jesus. Here in John chapter 21, the risen Jesus meets with his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Last week in verses 1 to 14, we saw it's still the same Jesus. He's still Lord of all. We saw his power over the fish of the sea in that miraculous catch of fish. And we saw that Jesus is still their provider and friend as he invites the disciples to join him for a barbecued breakfast on the beach. Well, now in today's passage, we see that Jesus is still the good shepherd. We read in chapter 18 how Peter had denied three times that he was even a disciple of Jesus. And now Jesus gently and powerfully restores Peter to his role as apostle, as feeder of God's people. But Jesus' words here are not just for Peter. They're included here at the end of John's Gospel because they show us what it means to live as followers of Jesus in this time between his resurrection and his return. They show us what life involves for those who trust in the risen Jesus as we wait for his return. And the big message, really, of this last part of John's Gospel is that the heart of the Christian life is love for the risen Jesus. The heart of the Christian life is love for the risen Jesus. We see that in the question that Jesus asks Peter. We see the question for the first time in verse 15. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Who are the these? Probably it's the other disciples who were around them on the beach. So Jesus might be asking, Peter, do you love me more than you love the other disciples? But more likely, Jesus is asking, Peter, do you really love me more than the other disciples love me? In other words, Jesus is challenging Peter's pride. Remember, just a few days before, Peter had said, even if everyone else falls away, I will never fall away. Jesus is challenging that pride. And in Peter's reply, there's no hint of pride anymore. It says at the end of verse 15, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. He no longer claims to love Jesus more than the others do, but he does maintain that he loves Jesus. And so Jesus asks the same question two more times, but without the more than these. So verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Verse 17, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? The heart of the Christian life is love for the risen Jesus. But we might ask, why does Jesus ask Peter the question at this time, at this point? And remember that Jesus is about to reinstate Peter after those three terrible denials. He's about to ask Peter to take up again his role as apostle. He's about to trust him again. And so we need to know that despite his denials, Peter has genuine faith. And so Jesus asks, do you love me? Because it is love for Jesus that's the sign of genuine Christian faith. Now we see this truth all through the New Testament. It's love for Jesus that's the sign of genuine Christian faith. You can see on the screen three verses from elsewhere in the New Testament. A little earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. See what Jesus is saying? If God was your father, the sign would be that you would love him. Peter himself, writing in the book of 1 Peter, we're going to be having sermons in 1 Peter starting next week. Peter, writing to Christians, most of whom he'd never met, said, though you have not seen him, you love him. He just assumes that his Christian readers will have a love for Jesus, because love for Jesus is the sign of genuine faith. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, if anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. In other words, if anyone does not love Jesus, it's a sign they're still under God's curse or judgment. Now, it's not love for Jesus that saves us. No, Jesus saves us, and we receive that salvation when we put our faith in him. But the chief sign that our faith is genuine is that we love Jesus. Now, it's not that we love Jesus as much as we should. None of us love him anything like as much as we should. But in the real believer, there is some genuine love for our Saviour, a desire to hear his word, to speak to him in prayer, to see him honoured, and to be with him where he is. Love for Jesus is the sign of genuine Christian faith. Now, I think that can be a challenge for us as we go on in the Christian life. Some of us have been following the Lord Jesus for many years, and it's easy for us to begin to focus on how much we know or how much we do for Jesus. But Jesus did not ask Peter about his knowledge. Simon, son of John, how much do you know about theology? And nor did Jesus ask Peter about his service. Simon, son of John, tell me, how much will you be able to do for me in the years ahead? No, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Because it's love for Jesus that's the heart of the Christian faith and a sign of true faith. That's a challenge, but it's also such an encouragement for us when we feel weak. I read this week about a preacher who visited an old lady in her cottage. And the old lady said to the preacher, I've had very little education. I can't say much for Jesus. And she said, I'm so frail these days, I can't do much for Jesus. But then she continued, but I do love Jesus. I love him enough to die for him. And that is the heart of the Christian life, the sign of genuine faith. But we may wonder as we hear this, well, where does love for Jesus come from? Perhaps you're looking into the Christian faith and you ask, how does a person get to the point where they love Jesus? Maybe, like so many of us, you do love him, but you long to love him more. Well, next we see that love for Jesus springs from knowing how much he has forgiven us. See, we come to love Jesus when the Holy Spirit teaches us how much Jesus has forgiven us. I'm sure you noticed in our reading that Jesus asked Peter the same question three times. So in verse 17, the third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, Peter was hurt because he knew that Jesus was deliberately reminding him of those three times that he had denied even being Jesus' disciple. And whenever Jesus hurts us, he does it for a good reason. It's as if Jesus is saying, Peter, you denied me three times. You know that. I know that. But I have forgiven you. And now I'm reinstating you as my apostle, trusting you again in the very place where you dishonored me. Jesus reminds Peter just how much he has been forgiven, because that is the spring from which love for Jesus flows. You might remember that Jesus himself told a story about two men who owed money to a certain moneylender. And one of them owed a really small, quite trifling sum of money. But the other man owed an eye-watering, multiple credit cards maxed out, keep you up at night sum of money. And in Jesus' story, the moneylender forgave both of the debts. And then Jesus asked at the end of his story, which one of those two will love the moneylender more? The one who had the trifling debt forgiven or the huge debt? And the answer is obvious, we all know. It's the one who had the huge debt forgiven who would love him more. And actually, in the same way, our love for Jesus springs from knowing how much he has forgiven us. See, if we want to love Jesus, we have to know the seriousness of our sin. We live every day in God's world with the strength that God gives us, but again and again we push God to the edge and live as if we were God, not him. To know how we break his holy and good laws, how we deny in our words or our actions that we know him. If we want to grow in our love for Jesus, we have to remember that we deserve God's right judgment. We deserve to be separated from him. And yet Jesus, in his great love, came to the cross and bore our sins and paid the price himself. Which means when we trust in him, we're forgiven, completely forgiven, and trusted again to serve God as his beloved children. That's the source of our love for Jesus. And friends, when you think of the depth of Jesus' love for you, when you think how much he has forgiven you and at what great cost, don't you find love for him springing up within you? It just reminds us that when Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, shows us our failures, like he did for Peter here, he's doing it for a really good reason. He shows us our failure so that we'll know how much we've been forgiven at the cross, and our love for him will grow and grow. So love for Jesus springs from knowing how much he has forgiven us. But again, we might ask, well, how does our love for Jesus express itself? And that's what Jesus shows us next. Love for Jesus shows in feeding and caring for his people. Love for Jesus shows in feeding and caring for his people. There's lots of threes in the first half of this Bible reading. So there was the same question, or almost the same question, that Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And there's also the threefold instruction that Jesus gives to Peter. Did you notice at the end of verse 15? Jesus said, feed my lambs. And at the end of verse 16, Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And at the end of verse 17, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." It's wonderful to see how Jesus describes his people. We who trust in Jesus are his lambs, his sheep. He knows and loves us as a good shepherd. And Jesus tells Peter to be an under-shepherd, to feed and care for his sheep, which is exactly what Peter did as his apostle, teaching the word of God and pastoring. But it's not just Peter. Jesus said earlier in John's gospel, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." And later, "This is my command, love each other." So our love for Jesus, it is a personal and private thing. We love him. But it's never just a personal and private thing. Love for Jesus always overflows in love for his people. If we love Jesus, we'll want to do what we can to feed his people with the word of God. Now, the way we do that will be different for each one of us. It could be helping with a children's group, with a growth group. It could be helping with music, with audio visual. That's part of how God's word gets into our hearts and minds. It could be reading God's word with our children and our grandchildren, building that into the routine at home. It could be sharing with a friend something which has encouraged us in God's word. If we love Jesus, we'll want to play our part also in caring for his people. We can do that in an organized way, serving coffee, welcoming on a Sunday. We can also do it by being a friend to the one in need, opening our heart to them, being there to listen and to pray. We should ask God to show us how he wants us to feed and care for his people. One of the wonderful things about St. Mary's is to see how much of this is happening. But if you're like me, sometimes the ways that we serve can become a bit routine. Feel like we're stuck in a rut just serving because we're on the rota, it's what we do, it has to happen. Well, if you're in that place, remember why you serve God's people. It's because you love Jesus. You know how much he's forgiven us. So you love him, and so you feed and care for his people. It's that dynamic of love that turns our service from a chore into an overflow of our love for Christ and his love for us. Well, there's one more way for us to see in this Bible passage, another way that our love for Jesus shows in our lives. And it shows in following him through persecution and suffering. So in other words, our love for Jesus shows especially when times are hard. And in verse 18, Jesus gives Peter a stark warning of what is to come. I'll read from the very end of verse 17. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." See, for Peter, feeding Jesus' sheep will lead him to a violent death in which his hands are stretched out, which is a reference to crucifixion. Jesus warns Peter what will happen, and he tells him, when this happens, you need to keep on following him, following me. And tradition tells us, of course, that Peter was indeed crucified upside down on the orders of the Emperor Nero. Well, there's a very human moment now when Peter asks about his fellow apostle, John, the gospel writer. So verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" So you see, when Peter hears about his own future, he wants to know about John. Will he face the same death? And Jesus' answer essentially is, "Mind your own business. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You see, every disciple of Jesus will face persecution and suffering, but we will all face it in different ways. And our job is not to compare our path with other people's. No, our job is simply to keep on following Jesus on the path that he has marked out for us. The famous Antarctic explorer, Ernest Shackleton, was advertising for people to join his expedition to Antarctica. And he placed an advert in the newspaper, and it was a very short advert, and it went like this. Wanted: men for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honour and recognition in case of success. It's quite an advert, wasn't it? And thousands of people queued round the block to join him. He was upfront about the cost. And of course, Jesus is the same. Absolutely honest and upfront about the persecution and suffering involved in following him. We must expect the Christian life to be hard, and to be hard in different ways for each of us. So some of us in our church know what it is to face persecution. Some of us have had to flee our home countries because of our faith. For others, it's different. Perhaps you face the pain of being persistently put down by your family because of your faith. Maybe for others it's different again. It's the cost of facing dilemmas at work or being treated with suspicion at work because of your commitment to Jesus and his word. And if we don't face persecution, all of us will face suffering as we follow Jesus, but in many different ways. And when those times come, what Jesus is saying here is we must follow him. So others may not be going through what we're facing, but Jesus has been through it. Others may not understand it, but Jesus does. And we show our love for Jesus by following him when it's hard, by keeping on trusting him, listening to him, and living as he lived. And in fact, verse 19 shows us that we glorify God when we follow Jesus through persecution and suffering. Verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." One of the main ways that we show the worth, the honor, the beauty of our God is by following his son when life is hard. So what is the most important question you've ever been asked? Okay, it's not the one about the road signs and the driving theory test. It's not the job interview. It's not even, "Will you marry me?" No, the most important question is the question of the risen Jesus. Do you love me? That is such an important question because love for Jesus is the heart of the Christian life and the sign of genuine faith. So I want to invite each one of us to consider your answer to Jesus' question. Perhaps your answer is, "I know about Jesus. I'm interested in Jesus. But no, I don't love him." Well, remember, love for Jesus comes from grasping how much he has forgiven us. Ask God to show you the seriousness of your sin. Ask God to show you that it has been fully paid for and forgiven by Jesus on the cross. If it sinks in that you stand fully forgiven through trusting in Christ, then a love for him will grow in your heart. And I'd really recommend coming to that Christianity Explored course on the 15th of May. It's such a help in grasping these things. But I also know that many, many of us would answer something like this: "I do love Jesus, but nothing like as much as I should, but I do love him." Well, be encouraged. Your love for Jesus, weak as it is the sign of genuine Christian faith. And pray that your love would grow and grow. Spend time at the cross, being humbled by your sin and thankful for the full forgiveness won there. and then let your love for Jesus show. As you feed and care for his people, and as you follow him through persecution and suffering. Love for Jesus is the heart of the Christian life. Let's pray. We love because he first loved us. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that we could never love you if you had not loved us, gone to the cross to die for our sins, to provide us with that wonderful forgiveness, make it possible for us to be reinstated as your followers and your servants. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us more about how much you have forgiven us, and that our love for you would grow and grow. Amen.